Welcome to the Natural Perfume Academy podcast. I'm Ruth Ruan, your host, and today I have a very special guest, Zoe Stranzali, joining us from Athens, Greece. Zoe is a certified botanical perfumer, aromatherapy educator, and the founder of Nymphaea Aromatic Wellness, a creative space in Athens where ancient Greek aromatic wisdom meets contemporary natural perfumery. She's also an NPA certified school and International Perfume Foundation chair for Greece. Today's conversation marks the second part in our new Nymphaea Notes Friday feature, which celebrates Greek aromatic traditions on the first Friday of every month. Zoe, welcome. I'm so happy you are here.
Hello, Ruth. Hi. And thank you so much for having me today. I'm really happy to be here and to share this space with you. It's such a joy to talk about something that is in my heart, especially when we're talking about ancient Greece and reviving all this hidden knowledge.
Absolutely. So I was thinking, you know, to break the ice, just obviously, I don't know, for me, I think my introduction to perfumery came a little bit maybe later in life. I was always interested in herbs and things like that. But Ireland, you know, it doesn't have a big history with perfumery, you know, whereas Greece is, you know, when you hear about Greece, you think, is it like the cradle of perfumery, really? Mm-hmm. I think. And then where you're from, how do you pronounce it? Is it Halkidiki?
Halkidiki, yes.
Halkidiki, okay.
It's Halkidiki. And to be honest, I never realized until I started working with scents how much this impacted my career afterwards and the way that I was aware about different perfumes and scents. For the people who have no idea about this place, trying to convey a picture about Halkidiki, I would use words like pine forests, trees, big trees like junipers and resins all over the place, wild herbs everywhere. I remember myself walking with my sandals and the nice scents were emitted like prayers in the air everywhere.
Wow.
And
the one like is it a small place? I mean, believe it or not, I actually heard about Halkidiki because I became fascinated by rock rose, because when I first started on perfumery, I was buying loads of different herbs and different things to see, did they have, you know, any aromatic, you know, if the leaves had a smell. And so I bought some of this cistus. It was cistus tea or rock rose tea from my supplier. I was a little bit disappointed, you know, it didn't have too much, the leaves didn't have so much of a smell. And so I had, you know, a bag of it. I didn't really know what to do. So I started looking it up and I found out that the tea is really, really good for you and that the people who drink it, mainly in the mountains in Halkidiki, and they're the longest, one of the longest lived people in the world. And they reckon it's because it does things, amazing things like lowers your cholesterol. And I mean, I'm not making medical claims, but it's supposed to be absolutely amazing. And it's got so many, it's like the leaves, and then you have the laudanum comes from the the branches. Have you, you must have witnessed that yourself in the summertime.
Plus the resin that, you know, that
this
it
is
was
a big thing. Oh.
Yes, for us perfumery. You know what? For us in Halkidiki, which eventually is the place where Aristoteles was born, and he was raised there. And there is an archaeological place with so many big amphoras, you know,
I heard about that. It's like this, one of the most ancient perfumeries in the, it might even be the very first perfumery
exactly
that in existence.
There's one in Cyprus, but Aristotle was the first botanist. Theophrastos had wrote a big book. It was his one of his students. So what we know about rock rose, which is wild, they're everywhere in Chalkidiki, is they used to call it Myron of Chalkidiki.
How do you spell that?
Myron is the
Me.
Greek myrrh.
Oh, like gold almost. Mirror. No. Oh, like mirror. The M. Oh,
Exactly,
wow.
exactly. And yeah,
Wow.
people in antiquity used to call it myrrh because it was such a holy, its presence was connected to the divine. It was used to every celebrating death. And I'm saying
Wow.
celebrating
Wow.
because
Yeah.
back then, the death was a passage,
Yeah.
a gateway to another realm.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. So.
And like that was one of the things actually today I was thinking I wanted to talk about because of course this is going to come out on the 7th, I think, of November. So it'll be, in Ireland we still have a very strong connection with death like that, in terms of you can't ever lose your connection with death. It's the one thing we're all going to do. But it's that celebration of death. So they had, so the 1st of November would be the Celtic would have been the Celtic New Year. And then so November would have been the first, would have been completely dedicated to souls that would have been passed on, like our ancestors and people that have died. And a kind of a sort of, it would be the month, like almost like for communicating with the spirits or honoring them in some way. And I just think that's lovely. Like, what a way to start the year, is with the spirits, like, kind of laying the foundation for what is to come.
And it's so nice to realize that every tradition has says exactly the same story with different words. We have exactly the same here with mythology here in Greece now in November, with the myth of Persephone, which goes
Wow.
to the underworld every fall to the god of Hades to meet the souls, and every spring is coming up to the earth again. That's why the earth blooms again.
We have to keep our having, whether or not there's any sort of benefit, like magical thinking associated with superstition, it would have been superstition to do these things, I suppose, before there was an understanding of the scientific reasons for things. But the more time goes on, they're starting to find that there is some basis for these traditions. They're not just superstitions, in a way there kind of
Definitely.
has to be, because how can you have the same ones over different parts of the world,
It was
it's,
their
yeah.
way to, I think it was their way to pass knowledge to the next generations, like through myths, stories. Some people like think it's about superstitions, but it's about hidden knowledge and hidden is the truths behind. If you analyze what is hidden behind every one of these stories.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And just being those storytellers, bringing it, continuing it on. I think it's nice to see it kind of cycling back again. It seems to be circling back, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's so
Really
true.
does.
That's so true. I'm really grateful being from a place like Greece with all this story and all this gorgeous abundance in plants and native scents. It was really a
Yeah.
gift for me.
I mean, like laudanum is used so much, and it's one of the ones as well that hasn't taken a big hammering from the, all of the regulations and things. It seems to be very, safe in terms of allergens and things like that, doesn't it, as well, which is really nice.
It's nice, although labdanum, I found out working with it that is one of the best scents to work with the subconscious. That's the only, that's the only thing that I'm taking in consideration working with it. Most of the times is the best scent to go deeper. And you have to be aware with whom you're working with, who is going to wear the scent, and you know, all this.
Wow. I'm just thinking there about your first introduction really to perfumery was more through aromatherapy, so through the healing aspect of it. Once that door was open for you, I mean, do you want to tell us the story about that or?
Yes, sometimes I'm trying even myself to find where did this all started, because there is not one day that I decided to do that as a profession or something to study. It started gradually and it was flowing like so quickly. There was some awakening points. We all have these points in our lives. The transitioning points, I think, that actually they never stop. For me, it was pregnancy when it's this point for a woman that you start realizing that you have to respect your nervous system, you have to respect yourself from the beginning. Like a new person, you start with a new perspective, seeing the world with different eyes. So this was the first awakening moment for me that I started using more consciously products. Still, I had no idea about the synthetic perfumes. I had no idea what's in them. I was using, I just started to eliminate what I was using until then, but I had no idea. It was just an intuitive choice.
And I
And
mean,
then
that's the thing as well. We do trust, when we, when we start buying our own perfumes and cosmetics, we really do trust that what's on the market is safe, don't we? And that it's not really going to contain any kind of harmful chemicals or things like that are when we start to really find out what's in everything. Then it really opens our eyes as to, you can't really trust everything. I mean, I think as natural perfumers, I think a lot of natural perfumers really don't like all of the regulations that are out there. I mean, how do you feel about them yourself? Like I personally think that they're there at the end of the day to protect people.
I find most of the regulations strict, and I know that at the end of the day is to avoid the excess. But here in Greece and in Europe generally, you know, is not the same with the synthetics. I wished it was as strict as the naturals, the same story with all the other ingredients. And I wish there was the we were sharing the same ethics, the labels were showing exactly the what I'm using. And to be honest, for me, it's a matter of responsibility. I like the idea that I have to be responsible about me. And I have to check it. I don't have to trust every company. You know, everything is a branding. The word natural and vegan at the minute, you know, is a branding. They're using it to cover other things. And it's so popular at the moment to say it's 75% natural. It's so popular. And I'm wondering, what does this mean inside us? What's most people don't even, they don't only ignore, but they don't want to know the rest. They're okay with that.
I know. What's that other 25%? Well,
Yes.
let's not talk
And
about it.
this is reflecting in everything, making, going not for the best, going for the okay version of it. It's reflecting in our clothing, in our food, in any supplies that we use. And I'm following the rules. Although sometimes I find out that there are some ingredients that are so helpful for someone that should not be restricted at all. For example, which one should I say? Like hibiscus, the seeds, it will come to me.
The hibiscus flowers.
No, the seed.
Well, lavender is one anyway that I think, but they say that, it can disrupt, they're saying now it can disrupt hormones, and tea tree oil is being restricted as well.
Yes,
Oh, you wouldn't use it in
in
perfume.
everyday use in big quantities, right?
Exactly. You see, this is the thing.
To me, sometimes the answer accusing a synthetic product is reverse to a natural. You know what I mean? Is since we say that all the synthetics are hormone disruptors, it's very easy to say in the same way that plants are disrupting our hormonal disruptors too. The big difference with the plants is that you always consider asking someone to use first, and then we use milder dosage. What I needed to say is we cannot even compare. We end up comparing two different energies because we're comparing a substance with the vital energy of Earth, which is co-working well with our energy, with our hormonal system. And then we have a mirror synthetic, which is still hormonal disruptor, but without the vital energy. So we have to bring so many to this discussion, so many other aspects.
Yeah, there's so many aspects. Like even the mere fact of in a plant, there are so many components, and yes, they are chemical components. They're working, like you say, in synergy with each other as a whole. So no one thing working by itself. Whereas with synthetic molecules, while you just have that molecule, and in a way, I kind of see it as nothing really in nature exists apart from something else. Everything is really connected in one way or another. It just smells a certain way, but does it do anything else? Does it really harmonize with us and with?
You don't expect a synthetic molecule
No.
to
No, you
harm you.
don't. And it's not really like in terms of personality as well. Of a natural, it's like got so much personality. Like even going back to laudanum, it's such a big personality, and like you say, it has so many factors, and it's almost like you could spend a month getting to know laudanum, even longer. You could spend longer, and this is the thing I wanted to ask you as well. It's like, the way you talk about your intuitive perfumery, and that's really how the method that you teach. Would that be a factor in it then, say, the characters or the personalities of each material? And then, so you're almost introducing the material one, this one, laudanum, meet rose here, what are you going to, that was really helpful for me when I started, because I kind of used a similar method, but I was just wondering about your method.
Is to me the scent is like a language we have to translate. In the beginning, I was feeling that I have to make the translations and working with every scent. Do you remember in the beginning we are working with every ingredient for a week in order to know the ingredient better, like it's a new person, like it's a new character. And we have to observe like how it's standing, how it's speaking, how it's singing, how it's dancing. Every ingredient has a story to say. The story of the ingredient And the story of the person who is next to me has to come in coherence, have to sync together in order to synchronize, in order for me to realize that this is working well. And that's where I trust that natural perfumes is not about perfuming a persona. It's about helping, nurturing this inner character to speak, the inner fragrance that I'm calling.
This is the next thing I wanted to ask you about, because I think when I read your inner fragrance, I just really, it's the first time I've ever heard that. So, but it reminded me, I think I maybe was in my 40s, the very first time that I felt like that I sort of had an idea of if I was an essence, what I almost would be. Like when everything else is stripped away completely, who are you? When everything, just your essence, if it was just, is that what you mean when you talk about?
Yes, but not in the way that many people are coming to me, not in a way that we are one and essence in our whole lives. I believe that we are completely we are evolving and we are in a continuous flow. I mean, I'm not the same person now and in 1 hour distance because of the energies, because of the inspiration I might have, because of the interaction and our conversation. And it's about archetypes, actually. Do you know, it's shifting from one archetype to another. I can be now a rose and then shift to a jasmine and then go to a pine tree, depending on the situation that I'm facing right now. That's why I'm not, it's my opinion, I'm trying to convince people not to stick with a perfume and have it for a lifetime, because we tend to get a persona in this way. Every perfume, every scent is a value. Let's say every plant has an archetype, has a value, is emitting the energies. So if I'm dedicated for the rest of my life to wear rose, even if it rose is divine love and all these beautiful energies and the feminine power, but do I need to have only that in my life, or do I need some male energy too when I want to thrive, or do I need to be concentrated when I need to work, and do I need to so many other things in order to multifunction in life?
That's a much nicer kind of more free. I think it gives you much more scope as well, you know, that idea. Definitely.
Probably it was the way I was raised, and all these herbs one next to the other. I playing with them, I never felt like I need only one. And it shaped my way of perceiving the scent, perceiving. I like the idea of someone working with a single scent. I don't mind about that. If someone tells me I need to go with one single ingredient, I found this perfect, but not for forever. We need to, like synthesis, like the piano, our energy need to be waved in all levels of existence. I need to have all the notes.
And
That's
so how then, you know, say if you were making a perfume, like how do you apply that then to your practice, to the practice of actually?
You mean how's the structure is following?
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
no, not necessarily the structure, but like for a beginner, someone who's just starting out, you would you say, you know, take a lot of time to really get to know, like, you know, when you start doing like a fine art class and, you know, they might say, well, say you're going to learn how to draw a, you know, a lemon or something, but you know, a really good teacher won't just get the lemon and say, okay, here, draw a lemon. They'll bring the person out to the lemon tree and they'll see the lemons growing, and then they'll, you know, they'll really immerse themselves in the lemon and then they'll draw a lemon. It's a different thing,
Exactly.
isn't it?
Exactly. I think everyone connecting with the plant, finding their own intuitive voice, find their own intuitive connection with the scent is the alpha and the omega for perfuming. Because otherwise it's maths, but to me, to be connected with the energy and I take most of the times I take the scents like persons. I know the way they interact, if they fight, if they love each other, if they have a conversation which is loud or if it's quiet. I like to see it like theatrical event in front of me.
Yeah.
And that's why
But
it's so interesting and it's nice to connect. Sometimes we just see a bottle and we cannot make a connection that this was somewhere. The scent depends on the soil, the person who was throwing the, you know, putting the water for the person who took the seeds and the plants and the flowers, sorry.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's
There's so many factors.
so many aspects to consider in order to realize how precious it is. So I think this is building our intuitive connection. And that's where my basic interest, I'm talking with my students now, and they're trying to connect with every single scent as if there's no other scent. Every week, a different scent, as if
Wow.
it's only this one on earth.
Yeah.
Because you know, with naturals, it's a complete formula. Its scent has a base, a top note, a heart. Is you have so many things to investigate in every single ingredient.
You do. You do. And like, I don't know if you'd agree with this. It's just my idea of it is a little bit like, you know, sometimes like with art. Like when you create art, you can create art just for yourself. You don't ever have to show it to anybody. But when you do show it to somebody, you are showing them, you know, a little bit of yourself. It's not really about if they like it or not, but it's like, what does it make them feel? You know, how does it make them feel? And it is a little bit of a kind of an intimate thing when you create something and then you show it to the world.
Exactly.
Like, how did you have some perfumes yourself, don't you? That
I do, I do.
you
And what you're saying was one of my biggest challenges in the beginning, you know, because the language is not the same for all of us. For someone, the sweet saying the characteristic characterizing a perfume sweet and musky is not the same for all of us. And I was realizing that people have different perspectives and also the chemistry of the body, which is not only what we eat, how we are, but it's also our lifestyle and everything that we prioritize to everything is taking it. It was wild. It was when I realized that art is continuous, is continuing in the skin, on the skin. It does not stop with me, but it was like the painting is continuing with everyone was about to use it.
Yeah, which is it's such a when you actually go down that rabbit hole of the skin and, you know, I suppose how to make perfumes last longer on the skin, but not just that, but you know, different types of skin, a perfume will last longer on oily skin, maybe. Than on, you know, maybe blonde people who have maybe drier skin, they don't, it doesn't last as long. And then when you put it on as well, you can kind of say, okay, you can like it out of the bottle, then you put it on and it's different. But I Again, I think that naturals, I mean, like, I don't know if you took psychedelics when you were younger, but when you have LSD versus magic mushrooms, two different things. You know, it's like you can predict one thing is synthetic, so you can predict what it's going to do, you know. And okay, it might not do the same thing with everybody, but it's more predictable and measurable, and yeah.
Yes,
Whereas
because it's not
naturals, like you
alive.
say, it's just different. It
It's
could be a full moon, maybe you pick them and it's a different thing.
exactly. Yes, all what you're saying. And you see the different expectation. People, synthetic perfumery shaped the idea that all
Yeah.
perfumes are the same everywhere. So now we have to reinvent a new idea of perceiving the scent. Is we don't have to expect anything. We just have to observe. And you know, all this preference that we had, we used to have, like, I like this one, I don't like this one, I like. I'm trying so much with naturals to talk with people to make them realize that what we used to call like or dislike is actually a feeling behind. And instead of using these words, let's go back and see what's hidden behind, let's say, vetiver. Vetiver has the people who love it
Oh,
or
you're so right about that. You are so right about that. I have seen rose is a very good example as well, because you think rose is so beautiful, everybody likes rose, and then you see some people are just so repulsed by rose, they don't want anything to do with it. And I found, you know, a lot of those people, maybe, you know, they might have a little bit, I'm not saying necessarily about rose, but they might have maybe little issues from childhood or something underneath, maybe, and
Yes.
you find that it kind of goes across the board, you know, and like you say, vetiver.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't like that. Why? Why?
Always asking why, and you know the answer most of the times is because reminds me of an old person. And that made me realize that there's something mature about Rose. There's something, but you know, this maturity that is the wisdom of maturity that probably someone is trying to avoid. There are so many things you can see behind the what we like and what we don't like.
Definitely, definitely.
And also there are so many memories for some people. I had a student 1 year that she was saying that she had a teacher in high school that she slapped her once, and she could smell the perfume of rose, and since then she cannot smell it.
Yes,
Imagine.
it's amazing that it is so connected with the memory, isn't it? Because okay, so you might hear a song and or see something with smell, you kind of, it's nearly always about what it reminds you of. Like you hear a song, you don't say, oh, that song reminds me of, you might say that, okay, it is associated with memory as well, but not as much as scent.
You're instantly transported with the scent without even realizing. The brain does not have to make all the function. You're
Yes, that's what it
instantly.
is. You have the visceral emotional reaction before you have the thought. And like you said as well about characters, and like often in life, if we meet somebody and we take a disliking to them, it's often to do with something in them that is triggering something in us rather than that person themselves. It's like asking again, why? You know, why does this person rub me up the wrong way? You know, again, it's a similar thing. It's maybe there's something there, you know, that we need to kind of look at.
It's always, yes. The triggers are always there for us to see, to pay attention. And yes, but also we should not forget that smell is an instinct too. It's here to protect us. It's how many times don't we like a person? We don't want to go close because of the smell, or just intuitively, we don't know why. And Smell works like that. Is there's a memory. Now, do you remember this book talking about the implants? There's a new generation of research talking about every person who has an implanted organ has some olfactory cells implanted.
Come on.
They found themselves have new preferences in perfumes,
Come on.
and most of the times is connected with the person who gave them the organs. And this is mind-blowing
It's absolutely mind-blowing, yeah.
because imagine what happens with our ancestors. We have their cells generations and every after generation. There are some research now, and olfactory cells are inherited to the next generations.
Wow. And obviously, like you say, there's a reason for that. It's probably to do with survival. And I was going to say, do females have a better nose than men? But I don't. I think that like even for a newborn or the smell of a newborn, I think it's one of the first our first senses that they can. But I don't know if you ever heard this one that I think it's, is it called anosmia? It's a bit of a
Anosmia, yeah.
anosmia. A person who has it affects women and men differently. So apparently women who have anosmia find it really, like they know statistically they can't maintain long-term relationships, which I just find amazing because, and what I think that might be to do with is because this is like could be a bad one now for the listeners, but but okay, so I don't know. So you might, let's say you go to a party, okay, and
Yes.
you know you've got your man there. Let's say this is for heterosexual couples, I suppose, right? So you got your man there, you go to the party, and I don't know about you, but you could just say you can nearly scan the room and you could tell which woman in the party is interested in your man. But why can you tell? Is I think you can smell.
Yes,
You know
the
what I mean? I mean that is like
I'm
just
sure they
clearly
do. I'm
okay.
sure they do. And there is a, it's proven that women don't have a better smell, but
No.
nature made women, they have the skill to smell certain genes in order to be able to find the perfect man that their genes
Oh
will
yeah.
together for healthy children.
Genetically. Yeah, yeah,
Genetically,
yeah. And I
yes.
think as well that it answers the other thing of when you have if I don't know, it's supposed to be a fact that a man who's in a relationship with a woman is instantly more attractive to single women. And I think it's because they can smell that the man is already with a woman. So he
You
must
think
be
I never
special.
thought about that?
And then that answers why women who can't smell
You mean smelling
can't
the
stick long-term
pheromones?
relationships because they can't, yes, that they can smell the other woman that we don't
Yeah.
know we can. And that women who have anosmia, they can't tell. So they can't, to every woman, you know, they just can't tell. So they could walk into a party and every single woman in the party could be interested in their man. They don't know. Anyway, that's beside,
I know
look,
it's
we're veering
funny.
off completely.
I know it's funny, but there's something really important we have to keep from this. To keep in mind that we are not aware how important the sense of smell is
That's exactly
for
what we have to
keeping
take.
us healthy.
Yes.
Because anosmia is connected with depression more than anything else.
Wow.
So
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
cannot smell, you cannot do practically anything. You cannot eat, you cannot get be in love, you cannot make love. You cannot do anything. Recognize someone from the smell. You cannot hug. Everything is plain. So, doctor research shows that people with anosmia have more, practically more chances of thinking about suicide and Very, yeah, very dark depressions.
Wow, that's sad.
So it's something that we should be aware of. We don't really, can you imagine how often we say, oh, this guy, he cannot see. And we think that is so important. How can he live without seeing? But I haven't heard anyone saying, oh, he can smell. How can he live without smelling?
Exactly. And I think even with children, you know, when we're when you have children, they have their hearing test at 6 months. They have their, you know, make sure their sight is okay at 6 months, coordination. There's no smell test. See, is there how are they doing with their sense of smell?
Exactly. You see, it's the structure of our community that the sense of smell. That's why I think most of the people don't pay attention about this 25% of the chemicals in every.
Yes, exactly. And the cleaning products, like you say, all of the perfume and cleaning products, the actual fragrance itself is one thing, but often it's there to mask horrible odors, you know, of the chemicals themselves, and like the smell of bleach. That's not what bleach smells like. It has such strong perfumes to make the bleach smell even tolerable, because you know, just so people use it, but it is very, very dangerous, really. I think, I mean, using excessive amounts of chemicals, you know, like you say.
I think even if we don't need someone to tell us, we can feel it. We all came across this kind of smells. If you're honest with yourself, you can feel it straight ahead that something is wrong. For me, for one day, I cannot smell anything. When I smell bleach, for one day, it's my sense of smell is
Yes,
gone. Imagine
exactly.
how.
And so what about yourself now in terms of perfumes? What have you got in? Have you got anything? Are you working yourself at the moment on something or?
I do, yes. I just finished with a formula which was dedicated with the Enzin Minoan goddess, the goddess of
Wow.
Do you remember? Do you know this big wall painting in Minoan with the saffron flowers?
Yes.
Yes, I made a perfume dedicated to this goddess, which is called Potnia Thiron. The perfume is called Potnia, and now I'm working because my greatest inspiration is the cycle, the seasonal cycle, and the moon cycle. I find myself finding inspiration most of the times from the seasons, and now we're on the season that October is symbolizing, like, the earth is going inside again, in silent, in the dark, to and all the seeds are getting back to the earth to so they can come back again on spring. So it's the perfect time to work with the unconscious.
And how does, you know, just in terms of the notes then for autumn, I mean, I obviously, well, you have the darker notes, maybe like vetiver. What would be your ones then for autumn?
For me, it's resins and woods and all this wet petrichor notes like even agarwood, or I have with me. Have you heard nagarmotha?
Yes.
Even nagarmotha.
I have to, but tell me about it because I only once ever got a little sample.
I only brought it here with me today because not many people know that Nagarmotha is one of the Latin name of Nagarmotha is Cyperus scariosus. One of the favorite scent, the one of the favorite aromas that Minoan civilization used to use was Kipirun, which is a family plant of Nagarmotha, which is the papyrus, what
Oh,
we
wow,
use
no way.
for the papers.
Are you serious?
Yes, so this is the perfect season for this kind of
Yeah, and it's very earthy from what I remember. Very
earthy
earthy,
and dark
sweet.
and wet, but
Yeah.
there are still some sweet notes in it. You know, this sweetness of
And is that the one now, for the, like you said, the petticoat?
I realized that petrichor is something that people are really interested in. And
Yes.
I was wondering what this symbolizes inside us. Why is the earth, the wet earth, is so important to us? And for me, it's like safety is back to our roots, is back to where we belong. You know, it's the scent of that reminds us our backbone. It's so nice, all the other scents that we're using to make it rich and long lasting, but this core scents, the darker earthy notes, are perfect for this time of the year because they remind us, they're calling us back home. They're
Yeah.
calling us to look inside, to see what we need to see, to make a list of where we are and what do we want.
That's right, and that we don't always have to be doing that there's times for reflecting and turning inwards and allowing, I suppose, new seeds to germinate that right there in that place, isn't it?
Exactly. Many people are telling me, how can you be inspired all the time? And I'm not. I'm not. Who would ever think that someone can be inspired every day, every hour? No, you have to follow. You have to have your own pace and follow your rhythm and be authentic and speak your truth. Now I'm inspired. Now I'm not. And that's fine. We
That's
need
it. That's
quiet.
it. Yeah, like some animals are more nocturnal. Some come out in the dusk. Some are morning, and we're the same, aren't we? We can't really be try to be anybody really but ourselves. And that again comes back down to our essence in a way, like who we are and being that authentic self. Like you say, that it's not always the same.
No, and we don't have to push, I just have a few perfumes, if you've seen my shop, because I wanted people to realize that I'm not here to, I'm not, it's not about a machine making, different kind of recipes and formulas and for every kind of taste. We need to, if something is a ritual, you don't need so many different, is just specific energies. Start with two, and that's enough.
Yeah, and then when you come across something really good, you can share it with somebody, isn't it? Share your art. And so when have you anything coming out like to release? So you'll be releasing the new perfume or
I'm about to release this new one. It's not ready yet. I'm waiting. I'm so excited, and I'm waiting for this new perfume. What it this, that is for this darker days of the year, and I still don't have a name, and but I can, I can see the figure. I can see the. I'm so inspired by Greek mythology. Potnia, my last perfume was the goddess of the saffron goddess from the Minoan civilization.
Oh
And
my God.
my inspiration for this one, I have my astrology book here, is the
Wow. Yeah.
Chiron.
Oh, the heron, the bird.
Chiron, yes, which
Oh.
was half man and half horse in
Okay.
Greek mythology. He was the greater healer, and the thing that he was half and half symbolizes his human nature with all his instincts
Yeah.
and his divine nature with all this healing energy. And I think there is a healer in every single one of us. So my intention for this perfume is, to awake,
Oh,
take
I love
this,
that idea.
the soil and the seed to blossom of the inner healing, even if it's in the darker night of the year.
That's right. Just like that, it might just stir something inside of somebody. Just a little bit, because that's all you need sometimes, isn't it? It's just that little bit of stirring just to get something started. Even if it is letting go of something that you don't not no longer need, or to make space for something new coming in the spring. That can be what it's about as well,
We are also connected. We keep inspiring each other. With the way we look, the way we talk, the way everything is a matter of inspiration. And sometimes I look at the plants, the way that they communicate in an ecosystem. They say that trees, even if they're miles away, they can communicate each other. And I used to feel that about us natural perfumers worldwide. We are like trees that we do communicate. We share the same knowledge, her send the energies between us, and so many. We make quiet discussions, if you know
Yeah, I
what I
do.
mean. So
I do.
many same interests, same values, the same passion, and we are like plants miles away, like trees. We have the same connection, though.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's a lovely way to look at it. Oh, it's so nice. Yeah.
It happened, I think, to all of us so many times, to have an idea and then you don't manifest it the next couple of months, and you hear the next one who did it. And I'm so happy when I see that, because I realize that we are all so connected. The energy
Exactly.
flows
Yeah,
everywhere.
it's amazing actually that, yeah, like you could have the idea and not do anything with it, yeah, and then next thing you see, and would it be almost at the same time, the sparks of inspiration are just around connecting everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. That's excites me so much, because it's nice to share. It's nice to feel that we belong. We all belong in a greater realm, an energy field, like,
Yeah.
and the plants are with us too.
Yeah, they're with us. They are, I mean, whatever, like food and shelter. But again, like it's that scent aspect. I mean, obviously, that is, I mean, why do the plants smell the way they do in the first place? A lot of it is to attract pollinators and different things like that, So it is the plant's language, really. And like I think just slowing down, taking the time to kind of listen to the plants kind of gives us that, life can be very mundane. You get up in the morning, you do the same thing every day nearly, but like having something there like perfume brings you to, maybe a different level of, it gives you that, there's more meaning to life.
Yeah, and more inspiration. They can inspire us in so many different ways. I mean, color, shapes, scent. And I was wondering, like you do, how come a different flower have different scent? But it's like asking, how do they have the different frequencies and different qualities and different, healing energies? And everything is so, like, they are like families, like we all do.
Yeah.
We have
I
different.
know, I know. And like even animals, don't they? I know this isn't even wasn't even on topic at all, but I'm just after thinking some birds, and I think even pigs build their use fragrant plants in their beds, they'll go and they'll pick
I haven't heard
something.
that. Really?
Yeah.
I
But
know
especially,
they are
yeah.
pigs, and the horses are the smartest
Yeah,
animals,
yeah.
and the dolphins, but I had no idea about flowers.
It's kind of like one of the reasons maybe to keep away lice and things like that. They think they're not really sure why they do it, but then it could be just to, they reckon it's just to make their bed and smell nice. This is ones in the wild, obviously, not domesticated ones. So they
And
can't,
the
unfortunately, they
intelligence.
can't do it in.
There is intelligence in every
Yeah,
being.
there is. Yeah.
We cannot understand most of the times. They
Yeah,
are so
yeah.
connected that it wouldn't be surprising to me to do it for safety reasons, to feel the energy of the plant, or even to absorb their properties. It wouldn't
Yeah.
be surprising because I know that there are some pets like dogs and cats that eat certain flowers when they are sick. So,
Yeah.
yeah, how do
I
they
know
recognize
it's it is
which one?
it's mind-blowing really, like when you kind of go down deep into it. But I think really with naturals, it's that appreciation for, that you don't take it for granted how much effort went into just 5 mils of essential oil or absolute, from the very beginning, from when it first grew up until when it's in the bottle. We have to appreciate it and slow down and maybe use less. This is the thing as well, isn't it? It's like this, I'm not saying youngsters, but people, obviously anyone that uses, really strong conventional perfumes and they just spray themselves from head to toe with this stuff.
Yes.
It's like, what do you want to, why?
Exactly.
And you can't smell like yourself at all. I mean, I'm not saying, obviously some people need to, they work in a closed office, they need to wear some kind of deodorant or whatever, but it's just like, what is wrong with just a natural, people would think that's terrible though. They think natural smell. What's a natural smell?
But that's true. I mean, we have to think about all the motif, the different theories we have in our mind. Why do we have to hide the natural sense? Why do we have to mask it? What do we have to hide? What's behind it?
Yeah.
I'm always saying that. What do you need to sow instead of your truth? What do you need to say, a different story, or hide yours and say a different story? Because if I need to detoxify myself and the smell of my body shows that I need to be detoxified, why do I need to mask that?
Yeah.
What's the reason? I mean,
Yeah.
and it's beliefs. It's all about beliefs. It's all about all this. Beliefs of being accepted, being loved, and being connected.
Yeah.
Because smell is the first sense that would keep something in distance, if you
It
realize.
is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it basically tells us if food is bad or anything like that. Yeah, we trust our nose. As Gandalf said, did you watch Lord of the Rings? He said, so when he decided where to go down in the caves,
Yes.
he trusted his nose. It smells better this way. That's the way
Can
he
you
chose.
imagine? Yeah, I love this kind of things. Yes. I love to think about it in my personal life. To leave my nose to direct me where I need to go, what do I need to eat, what do I need to wear,
Yeah.
even to wear. Have you noticed how synthetic clothes are smelling?
Yes. Yeah.
It's Yeah, if we were using our noses in a proper way, everything would be different.
It would, yeah. It would, like even wool. You can have wool for years. You don't have to wash it. You just air it and it doesn't, the smell doesn't stay. It's
Exactly.
naturally.
That's why I've heard that the wool is one of the ingredients that we, for us perfumers, we can clean our noses just smelling the wool because
Yeah,
there's no sense staying
yeah.
on it. And it's not the coffee grains that they use to smell on the
That's
coffee.
right. Yeah, that's right. And speaking of wool, isn't that one of the things? Did you ever see them collecting the laudanum resin with the leather straps and the off the wool? Don't they take it off the goats or the sheep wool?
Yes.
Do they still do that?
Yes, they do.
Wow. Wow. Amazing.
They do every summer because they need to, yeah.
Yeah. And imagine the first person that ever discovered that. They bring a sheep and collect the little things. How many years ago? Thousands.
I'm thinking
Thousands.
about everything about this one,
Yeah.
and we end up that is all about trusting our intuition. The first people who did everything, not only that, but everything, is trusting. I was reading mythology and earlier the Homeric, the epics, and he's talking about herbs like archetypes. And I was wondering, how did he know, how come he had any idea? And then I was thinking, they were just trusting their intuition, and
Trusting
there's
your intuition,
nothing more.
yeah.
There's nothing more
That's exactly
because
it, yeah.
we have it in ourselves, our genes. We remember. It's only a matter of remembrance.
And it's a
And
very hard thing to test. And isn't it?
it is.
It's very hard because as soon as you start to try, we start to try to force it. It has to kind of come. In a kind of a natural way, doesn't it?
It
To get the
does. It
flow of
does.
it. And I suppose like that with your method of teaching, it's showing the students how to get into that space where they're listening to their intuition and trusting.
It's interesting because no one can tell you to trust your intuition, and no one outside you can convince you that your intuition is the only thing you have to trust. It's a procedure you have to it's a process you're going through, and it's a decision you have to make on your own. And most of the times it's a slow, but in the same time, fastest way to be authentic,
Yeah.
to believe in yourself, to believe in what you feel. And
Yeah. They say it's
everything.
the highest form of intelligence, intuition. And I think as well, with dreams, I don't know. I really like to listen to my dreams. I don't dream as much as I would like, but I do think that when we listen to our unconscious and we listen to the subtle messages, say we might dream of something and then we might like in some way honor our dream, or let's say we dreamed we had pizza, then the next day we honor our dream, we buy pizza. I think that inside, I think our unconscious mind is cheering and being so happy that we're actually listening and trusting, and the voice then gets louder because it has more confidence. Not that the intuition needs confidence, but it's like she's listening, and
Exactly.
then the messages come more, maybe.
I feel exactly the same with you. When I'm not present enough to hear my intuition, it comes through a dream. I
Yeah.
realize that many times, and sometimes I feel all this, this higher self celebrating. Yeah, she made it
Yeah, she actually paid attention,
Yes, but it's so important to be present and see
Yeah.
the signals because they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the name Nymphia for me was a dream. I had no
Wow.
idea about my brand name, and this was a calling. Everybody was against that. Everybody was telling me that the spelling is so difficult. You don't want your brand to be connected with a word that nobody can spell it. But my dream was so strong that I went for it, and I still support this name, although sometimes, it comes to me, should I think of something easier? But
Yeah,
no.
but funnily enough, Nymphia is because I think I might be mildly dyslexic. It actually, funnily enough, it's an intuitive name to spell. It just cut like I've never spelled it wrong, whereas like I'll spell friend wrong every time. And I'll spell, the name Michael. I'll spell that wrong every time. I'll put the E the other way of the A. It's just, I just do it. Receipt is another one. I'll just mix it up every time. But I've never gotten Nymphia wrong. I can just spell it intuitively.
I'm so happy you
Yeah.
say that. Probably this means something to you because
Honestly,
I can
yeah.
tell you not many people do that. It's probably
Got a
your
great
connection
sound.
and
Yeah.
your intuition. This word probably symbolizes something for you
Yeah.
because many people think that Nymphaea comes from the Latin name of the lotus flower, but in ancient Greek, Nympheo was a sanctuary, a place where the waters were flowing, and it was the place to for healing, and the nymphs were living there. Have you heard about
Wow.
the nymphs of
Yes, I have. I'm thinking now, I'm terrible because I can't remember the name of the, I think is it Monet? He did a really famous painting with the nymphs.
Yes,
Yeah.
Monet, yes, you're
Yeah.
right. Yes.
My brother William Ruan is actually an artist and he did a reproduction of that. So
So
that's
nice.
how I know this painting more because he did it, you know.
Yeah, that's where the name is derived from. And Nymphaea is the sacred place for, everywhere that the water was passing, it was the sacred element of purification, of renewal, of healing. And,
Brilliant, brilliant. And I mean that fits because all seasons are there. I mean, like is I mean, okay, depends on where you live. Some places only have two seasons, but when you look at the trees losing their leaves and you look at the birds doing their thing and you kind of think, okay, but there has to be something happening with us. There has to be.
Yeah,
It
that
can't
we're
just
not
be trees.
synchronized, you
Yeah,
mean? We're not
you
in
know.
alignment,
Yeah,
right?
of course. I mean, okay, we're supposed to be the most intelligent species.
Yeah.
It has to be affecting us. I mean, the leaves, I'm looking out there at the trees, all the leaves are falling off.
To me,
And
that's one of the biggest presents of natural perfumery that can bring you back in alignment, back in remembrance of where you belong and back in the rhythm of nature. I've seen that many times with people, and they do confess most of the times that that was the most important thing that happened to them, returning back to their inner healing and realigning with the circle of what's happening around.
And I mean, capturing, when you think about it, what perfumery is actually capturing that scent and, bottling it in some way that we can release it at another time, So you're kind of capturing memories. And in a way, I mean, some things, I don't know if you've experienced this, but some materials, when you put them on the strip and you smell them, you can almost feel them wafting. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Feel the waft. And
Right.
like it's like the wind, like if you ever try to capture the wind, how do you do that? So it's like trying to capture something that you really can't see. But I've actually had that. I can't remember now the actual one. I think maybe violet leaf is kind of
Yeah,
like that. It's
and
just
probably pepper bean and
and yeah.
probably Daphne, I remember the Greek word, laurel.
Oh, but yes, laurel, laurel. Oh, of course. That's another one that ye have a
Yeah.
lot of, laurel and saffron.
Saffron,
I
yes.
mean, that must
There
be
are so
incredible.
many, like mastic, and I was still smelling last week. I had a walk and I was smelling the fig trees. You can
Oh,
still
God,
smell the
fig
fig
trees.
trees here. It's
Oh,
so
my God.
intense.
I
Like
love that
after
smell.
the whole summer, since
Yeah.
August, the fig trees are still alive and smelling such a thick, rich,
Yes, like
noble.
I didn't the first time we're in Galway, obviously the west coast of Ireland, so figs aren't something that will grow naturally, but they do tend to actually grow quite well, especially in Galway. There's a few really well-established fig trees especially near the waterways. I think they seem to like being near water.
They
And
do.
there's a huge one down by the Span not the Spanish Arch, by the Galway Cathedral there near the Salmon Weir. Very, very big. But I never realized that there was a smell of the fig. I picked one time, it was unripe, and I turned it around and just instinctively smelled it, because I probably do that with everything. And I just couldn't get over the perfume. It was just incredible. I couldn't get over it. And I don't think they all smell. I think probably some species smells but different, like roses.
In Greece, most of them do smell. They have this rich, a very vibrant, sweet scent is most of the times, which is so much connected with nurturing, with our childhood for us, for the Greeks. It's so much connected with all the playgrounds, all the because it's everywhere. Everywhere we were playing, there was a fig tree. Or during the spring, and a neroli tree. Have you been to Greece? It's
Oh,
everywhere.
no, I
During
haven't, but I'm
spring,
gonna
it's
have to go.
yeah. I wish you're coming next year.
And you do tours as well, don't you? You do botanical tours
I
of.
do. I started recently, and I find it so interesting because it's a different way to visit a place, not just to see, to sense it.
Oh,
To
it's
sense it with all
absolutely
your
fantastic idea.
senses. And I realized that I've been to many, many places in Greece, but I haven't sensed it. So I'm starting again from the beginning, traveling with my sense of smell, being my guide. And it's so interesting. It's so interesting. It's going to be next August in Crete for Labdanum, the resin. Now they're collecting the mastic in Chios.
Amazing.
And it's the season for saffron too.
Oh, so you can just go there and visit and see all the different things. I mean, I
Yes.
was in Spain last year, or no, actually it was the beginning of this year. And I don't really travel very much. I've been to the West Indies, and I've been to Vietnam. So I like going far away, and I'm not really one of those people that go on sunny holidays to places, just for the sake of it. But I was going to visit my son in Spain, and we were there was the big electricity strike, the one where everything just, I don't know if you heard about it, the whole of Spain just shut down. So that was our first day experience.
Wow.
So everything was closed, and we didn't really have, there was nothing really we could do. So we just went for a walk, and we walked around, and sort of our trip took us kind of into kind of suburbia, where, I mean, you can see some amazing plants growing, like, just in suburbia. And but I just couldn't get over. I was driving the other two crazy, because I kept stopping, going, "Oh, look at this! I've never seen this before. Oh my God, what is this?" And that's in a city, so I can imagine what it must be like actually then being taken on a tour and shown everything, and
Exactly.
it's just a fantastic idea.
Exactly. And if you have a botanologist with you, because there are so many different kinds and species, I cannot recognize everything. Every single thing is something, that's something so special. There are some people that know everything, and I love to travel with them.
Yeah, exactly. And even to get the folklore,
Exactly.
from them,
Exactly.
like the stories that you could tell about, how the saffron would be used. I mean, I know that I have smelled saffron absolute. It's incredible. Very, very, very strong.
It is.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it's like it's one of those ones, isn't it?
It is.
Less
And
is more.
you just need, yes. You need just the idea of
Yeah,
it.
just the idea.
Just the idea of it, but it's still enough. The energy is so intense. The
The
saffron.
energy is so intense.
Yes. In antiquity, they used to use saffron for coloring their clothings. So because of the energy. So yes, just a tiny drop in is enough, is more than enough.
That's one of those wafters, isn't it? You could open the bottle over there and you'd smell it.
I've been to Mykonos Island a month ago, and you know the landscape there is wild. Is there are no plants, it's basically rocks, and you can only find just a few plants like oregano, thyme, marjoram, but the smell of them is so intense. And I was talking there with a friend of mine, and she was telling me that they do collect so much sun and so much energy because there's no shadow in the island. They are always under the sun, that the sand is completely different from what we know in other places in Greece. Yes,
That's
it's
an
something.
incredible observation, yeah. And like you say, they're just exposed all the time, and the sun has changed them, and the exposure has changed them, and even like you say, the rock that they're
Yes,
grown on, not very much soil, so they've had to adapt.
exactly. They adapted to survive, and now the sand is something that you can't even imagine how different, how strong, and how condensed energetically.
Yeah. And because life was more difficult, it's created something more beautiful in a way.
And it's so interesting to observe that even the people in these places are like that. They're hard, very like they had to be strong to survive. And I was observing the plants and observing, you know, all these older people that they were born and lived there. They had the same characteristics, living in a
Amazing.
landscape. Because I realized landscape and culture is inseparable. I mean, the landscape we grow up and we live is reflecting to our inner landscape. There's a landscape in us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then
So,
we move to another place and we start inheriting those
yes,
similar
that's why I was
characteristics as
wondering,
well.
we are always changing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We're evolving
Yeah.
too. It's very interesting. It's really interesting to observe the plants where we are, to figure out how we are.
Even, yeah, the Aran Islands and Inishbofin and the people, when you see them, when you think of it like that, they have this similarity to the landscape. Yeah.
Yes, you take so many observing just with this observation about ethno. How can you say? Ethnobotany is like the way that geographically the herbs are in the same family but different on the same time.
Yeah, that was one thing. Now, before we wrap up, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, would you be interested in joining a scent panel? So I really want to do this idea because I think the logistics of sending it'd be kind of fun if everybody was smelling the same thing, but I think the logistics of that would be quite difficult. But I think that we could do something like, you know, we could have sandalwood or rose, and each of us pick a different rose, and then we could talk about it. I think, you know, I know it's just really such a small thing, but perfumers can talk for hours about a certain thing, a certain material, isn't it?
True. That's so interesting. I would love to.
Would
Yes,
you?
I'd love to. Yes.
Yeah. And I think as well, for listeners that are interested in learning more about perfumery, like somebody actually said to me, the last podcast that I did, they said that they were listening to it, you know, when they were going for a walk or whatever, and that there aren't a lot of podcasts out there specifically about perfumery. Yes, there are, you know, videos and YouTube channels and things, but not really specifically about, you know, like a scent panel where you just talk about particular scent. And I think it might help people with their language, especially because that's one of the big challenges I find. Is finding the
That's
right words to describe something. And
yes.
I don't know, I think it's just the way my brain works, but I come up with crazy things that don't really sound very poetic or romantic at all, you know? It's
It sounds
just,
great to me, yes.
yeah.
And you never know what a single word will evoke to someone's memories. And,
Yeah.
have you noticed that even with a memory, we can bring back a scent? If I tell you
Yes.
now, try to remember the scent of a
Recently, I've
flower.
noticed that more than before, actually. So I might be watching something on TV or on my phone, and something will come up like, and I imagine I can smell it. I really can smell it. It's
Yes.
like almost like a
Yes.
phantom smell memory. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So I think the panel will be interesting because even if the people who are going to listen don't have the sense, they can bring them back to their memory and they can connect. It would be really interesting to try. Yeah. I would
That's
love to.
brilliant. And Solomon as well said that he would be interested.
Perfect.
So maybe not, but I'm hoping that it might be not the very next podcast that I do, but maybe the one after that. So that's great.
Super.
And then I'm hoping that as we get more listeners, that they might have questions as well. We're only very early days yet.
It's everything starting and evolving, and it doesn't matter for me, even one who will hear and change a life, change his life from synthetic to naturals, for me, it's more than enough,
Yeah,
always.
yeah.
What I think, and that's what is keeping me going, because what we do is not the easiest thing. People think that, oh, what you do, you're smelling perfumes all day, it's not something that you're getting tired or anything. Yes, but you have to think of everything on your own. It's a business, and you have to pay your taxes and your bills at the end of the day. And it's nice to think, I forgot what I wanted to say now.
I mean, your link now to your website, I'm going to put that into the description so we don't need to bother people. They're not going to
Okay.
be taking it down, but we're going to put a link to your Nymphea aromatic wellness, and that also has a link to your education platform as well, where you do your courses.
Yes.
And so that'll all be in the description. And also, you do have Instagram and that as well, so we'll get people to follow you on Instagram to find out when your new perfume is going to come and when you find the
Amazing.
name.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm looking for the name too. I will let you know soon, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely, Zoe. So this has been such a wonderful, beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for
Thank you so much.
taking us on this sensory and cultural journey through Greece and also through your own world of natural botanical perfumery. It's been an absolute pleasure, Zoe.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Ruth. Thank you for this beautiful conversation.
Lovely, Zoe. And for those of you who are tuning in from the Natural Perfume Academy community, we will have our scent panel. Hopefully, you'll be able to find out about it there. I'm Ruth Ruan. Thanks for listening and see you next time for another episode of Natural Perfume Academy podcast. Love from Galway, Ireland. Good luck and thank you again, Zoe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.